Hello everyone, hello. This year is dedicated to Ilui Nishmas, Rachel Leah Bas, Reb Chaim Tzvi. We're coming up to Shavuos now, Zman Matan Torasenu, the time of the giving of the Torah, and I wanted to discuss Nasa V'Nishma. We know the Torah describes in Shmos Perek Kaf Dalet, Am Yisrael heard some of the mitzvos, they said Nasa V'Nishma. It's actually interesting, there's a machlokas, whether in the Pshat and the Chumash, whether we said Nasa V'Nishma before Matan Torah or afterwards. Rashi learns that it was before Matan Torah, and that's the majority view throughout Chazal. But the Ramban there, Taka, learns that it was after Matan Torah. That's actually a very interesting discussion, but it's not for now. Let's assume that, like Rashi and the majority view, Nasa V'Nishma came before Matan Torah. Chazal say a lot. Somehow the phrase Nasa V'Nishma was very important, very potent phrase. The Gemara described in Shabbos, Adaf Peches, the impact which Nasa V'Nishma had. The Gemara describes on Peches Amud Aleph in Shabbos, Amar Rabbi Elazar, B'shoa Sheikdimu Yisro Nasa V'Nishma, Yatz Tabas Kol V'Yomra. Go ahead. Am Yisrael said Nasa first. We'll discuss the detail. It's a little strange. Nasa first. How can you do it before you be? We will do and we will listen. We will do and we will hear. How can you do it before you hear? Somehow saying Nasa first was a very big deal. And when we did that, the Gemara says, a bas kol came out. Mi gilo levanai razeh shalmochei asharis mishtam shimbo. Who revealed to my children, to Am Yisrael, this secret which the mochei asharis make use of? This is the secret. Nasa v'nishma, this is the secret to Kabbalah HaTorah, to what it means to be the proper Obed Hashem. Above, the Gemara describes another very powerful Gemara. The Gemara says, Darash Rav Simoi, B'shoa Sheikdim Yisrael Nasa L'Nishma, when Am Yisrael put Nasa before Nishma, again, that's the point here. Somehow that's the Chiddush, saying Nasa first. Bo Shishim Ribo Shamachi Asharis, 600,000 Malachim came, V'kol Echad V'Echad Mi'Yisrael. Each, they came to every particular Jew. Kashru lo shnei kesarim, two crowns. The Malachim gave every Jew two crowns. Echad keneged Nasa ve'echad keneged Nishma. Wow. So somehow saying this phrase, Nasa followed by Nishma, we were zochet to receive these two special crowns from the Malachim themselves. Then the Gemara describes, unfortunately, v'kevan shechotu Yisrael. And once Am Yisrael sinned, Yerud Me'avi Esrim Riba Malachi Chabalah Upirkum, 120,000 Malachim came down, and each one took off one of the crowns. So somehow, Nasa V'Nishma, this has a potency. Somehow, our entire Kabbalah HaTorah was like, I don't know, a major part of Kabbalah HaTorah was captured in saying Nasa V'Nishma. So what exactly is it? What exactly is the message of Nasa V'Nishma? That it was so important and so powerful, that's what we're going to be discussing now. This is Hachana for Shavuos. This is Matan Torah. On Shavuos, we are reliving, accepting Matan Torah, accepting the Torah again. And just like Am Yisrael said, Nasa V'Nishma, like the Pashup Shah, like Rashi, like the majority of you of Chazal, we said it before Matan Torah, Nasa V'Nishma. So we as well, as we're entering up, coming up towards, during all Sfiras Omer, Dalet Sivan, Hey Sivan, Matan Torah time, Nasa V'Nishma should be on our minds. We have to be reliving and re-experiencing the Nasa V'Nishma of Am Yisrael. So that's our first topic for today. We'll see if we have time, Bez Hashem, for another topic. What exactly is this idea of Nasa V'Nishma? All right. We're going to be presenting three approaches to Nasa V'Nishma. Okay. The first approach, which is really the simplest approach, is what the Rishonim say, a simple level, that the greatness of Nasa V'Nishma is blind faith. Hashem, we will do whatever you command, even before we hear it, before we know it. Nasa first. Now this, I accept upon myself, you're my master, I will do, meaning even before I know what you're commanding, even before I know what you're commanding, I will do what you command. I'm accepting upon myself now to do whatever you command, even though I don't know what you're going to command. I have no idea what you're going to command. Nasa b'nishma, blind faith. I have full emuna in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Whatever he says is good. I'll do whatever he says. This is the simple pshat about the greatness of Nasa b'nishma. Oh, right. This is Pashat Chata, what Rashi says over there in Gemara Shabbos. The last Rashi on Pei Chesem Bar Aleph, Rashi writes, Kodem Sheshamatem Osa Heachi Kasha. We accepted upon ourselves to do the mitzvahs before we knew how difficult they were. V'imtuchu Lamod Ba. If we're able to do it, Kibalta Ba'alechem Lekaima. You accepted upon yourselves to do it. Rashi earlier says, Muchanim Lasos Kodem Sheyishmu. They're prepared to do the mitzvahs before they hear them. V'lo kiderech shar avodim, not like other avodim. Sheshomim tchila es hadavar. First they hear about it. Leida michol mekabaleim imlav. To know if they can do it or not. No. That's na'aseh v'nishma. Blind faith. I accept upon myself, I will do whatever Hashem commands. And I don't know what He's going to command. Before I even know, before I heard it, the word nishma means pashup shot here. We will do and we will hear, meaning we will do before we know, before I even hear, I'm going to do. That's nasa b'nishma. That is the pashup shot of what the Rishonim explain. Okay. Now here, there is a very, very important source in Rabbeinu Yonah about this pashup shot of Nasa b'nishma. It's crucially important. Rabbeinu Yonah has this in his Perush on Pirkei Avos, and he has a similar idea also in the Sha'arei Tshuva. We'll be quoting from Rabbeinu Yonah in Pirkei Avos. Well, there's a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. It's in Perek Gimel, Mishnah Tes. The Mishnah says, Kol Shemaisav Merubin Michachmaso. If your actions are greater than your wisdom, your chachma will be maintained. Retained. You'll have great chachma. But if not, then it's not going to work. In other words, the Gemara, the Mishnah is emphasizing that the keeping the mitzvot is very important. It isn't enough to learn about things. You have to do what you learn. Okay. But the language is striking. It says, whosever actions are greater than their wisdom will be maintained, will be retained. Now what's difficult? What's difficult about that? What's difficult? Correct. How can your actions be greater than your wisdom? If you don't know it, how can you do it? What do the words mean? This is a good question in the Pashup Shat of the Mishnah. What do the words of the Mishnah mean? How is it possible that a person can do more than he knows? It's impossible. I don't know it. How can I do it? But the Mishnah says literally, whosever actions are greater than their wisdom, the wisdom will be retained. Again, it's emphasizing, do the mitzvahs. Don't just go, you have to do the mitzvahs as well. But it's actually a striking language. Again, there are different shatim. Rabbeinu Yonah stopped on the language. How is it possible that my actions are greater than my wisdom? It's a very strong question in the Pashup Shat. Oh. So Rabbeinu Yonah writes over there, and he says that the Mishnah is not talking about actually doing the mitzvos. That's impossible. It's impossible to do more than you know. That's impossible. So the Rabbeinu Yonah writes, it can't mean literally that the Mishnah means that a person who does more than he knows, what he knows will be miskayem. Can't mean that. So what does it mean? He says it means sheyikabel al atzmo lasos kol hadavarim asher yagidu lo. He accepts upon himself to do whatever he is told, whatever he's commanded later, then af mi she'eino yodea, ve'eino osa, and then someone who doesn't know and doesn't do is nikroin maisa. It's called like he did it. Ki yeshcho schar aleihem ki hu asam. He has schar as if he did it. Rabbeinu Yonah there is saying a tremendous yesod. It gives a lot of chizuk, this yesod. Rabbeinu Yonah says that if a Jew says to himself, says to herself, I accept upon myself, I will do whatever I learn. I don't know, I haven't learned the whole Torah. I don't know all the halachos. I'll do whatever I learn. When you say that and you say it sincerely, you get schar, that's what he says, you get credit now as if you did it. And therefore, it is possible to have more positive actions than what you know. And you can have more maisim than chachma. And that's what the Mishnah means. The Mishnah is literal. A person can have more maisim than chachma. How? Because the person in the Mishnah said to himself, I'm doing whatever I know, fine. And I'm accepting upon myself to do what I don't know, whatever I learn in the future. When I'm told by my Rabbanim, what I learn in the Svarim. And once a person does that, he receives schar now as if he did it. That's called a maisa. That is maisim is merubin mechachmasa. And Rabbeinu Yonah continues and he says, that's the pshat in what? Good guess in Naaseh V'Nishma. He says, that's Naaseh V'Nishma. That's what he says. He goes, that's Naaseh V'Nishma B'nei Yisroel. Rabbi Yonah writes, Kibla Aleim Tchila, Lasos Kol Asher Yitzav Aleim B'Yishmu, Umiyad Kibru Schar Ki'ilu Asom. That's Naaseh V'Nishma. That's the secret. Rabbi Yonah says that the language of the Mishnah Pirkei Avos, the difficult language, that this is the pshat of the language, that is Naaseh V'Nishma. Am Yisrael is about to receive the Torah. They said Naaseh V'Nishma. We will do whatever Hashem commands. Whenever we hear, we will do, and we're accepting it now. We received schar for all of the mitzvos that we would find out and do later on now. So a person gets, this is fabulous, a person gets double schar. A person who works with Naaseh V'Nishma gets double schar. Right now, you accept it upon yourself, I do whatever I'm going to hear, whatever I'm commanded. So you get schar now for whatever you do in the future. Then, when you do it, you get schar again. That's Rabbeinu Yonah. This is one pshat in Naaseh V'Nishma. This is a major yesod in Torah Hashgafa. This is what life is all about. Shavuos is coming. We have to work in the Naaseh V'Nishma. What a chizuk that a person can get. How much do I do? Maybe a person thinks he's not so knowledgeable, he doesn't know everything. All right. But if you make that Kabbalah now, I will do whatever I'm commanded, you get schar now for whatever you do in the future, for whatever you're going to learn in the future, and again, schar again later. It's an unbelievable idea. Unbelievable. Oh. Now, this pshat of Rabbeinu Yonah blends in perfectly. So it's like the basis for a wonderful vort and a story. It's a vort and a story. I once heard from my Rebbe, Rav Shechter, Rav Shlita. Rav Shechter was giving a shiur on Yerushalayim. You have to have Yerushalayim, fear of Hashem. And he was saying, you know, what's a good definition of Yerushalayim? So he said a very nice, practical definition. He said a definition is, if a Jew says to himself, oh, I don't know the whole Torah yet, but I will keep and perform whatever I learn, that's Yerushalayim. That's Yerushalayim. A Jew says, I want to do what Hashem commands. I have fear and awe and respect of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, whatever I learn, I'm going to keep. That's Yerushalayim. So, he told a story. Rav Shechter, during the year, was quite busy, giving shir all the time. Okay. And the time during the year where he has more time to learn for himself is in the summer. So many summers, I'm not sure if it's still happening now, but many summers, he would go up to a town, Tannersville. It's a town upstate New York. I forget the name of the... on the highway, on upstate New York. All right, Tannersville. Tannersville is a very interesting place. Very interesting place. Every summer, a lot of religious Jews go there. A lot of the Jews from Washington Heights go there. The German Jews from Washington Heights, and that's where Rav Shechter lives. And there are a lot of Lubavitchers that go there as well. And they're in the shul, and it's a very wonderful place to be. I went up there once or twice in the summer to spend time learning with Rav Shechter. I was sitting next to Rav Shechter as he was learning. I was like trying to follow along the best I could. Anyway, so Tannenhill is an interesting place in the summer. Half the people there are the German Jews from Washington Heights, and half are Lubavitch. There's a joke they say, and this joke captures Tannersville. They say that in Tannersville, in the summer, the Mashiach is going to come right on time. That joke exactly captures Tannersville. So that's Tannersville. So Shechel goes up there in the summer. He's in Tannersville. And what does he do? He learns. He sits at a table and he learns. And he learns very quickly. He learns out loud very quickly. And you know, whoever wants to come can sit at the table. It's like a picnic bench type table and sit and learn with Rav Schachter. Okay, so that's all right. The people did it. He told a story once. He was going over a Gemara, and as he was going over the Gemara, it was some idea in Hilchos Mezuzah, and he mentioned a halach in Hilchos Mezuzah that's not so well known. Some specific halacha. It was the Gemara in Menachos, and Hilchos Mezuzah come up in Menachos. So he mentioned Mezuzah, halacha Mezuzah. Okay. And he said he was giving the shiur, and there were five or six men around the table. And then, as he's speaking, one of the guys disappears. You know, you look around, he's not there. He disappears. Like, you know, boom, you know, you look up, and you know, you're reading, you're learning. Oh, where'd he go? And he disappeared. He's gone. All right. It's around, I think, a two-hour drive. So, the next morning, around 11 o'clock, the guy comes back. And they asked him, where were you? So he said, Rabbi, that halacha, which you mentioned in the shiur, I made that mistake. I had that problem in my mezuzahs at home. So when I heard you mention this halacha, I left the shiur to go home to fix it. And I went and bought new mezuzahs. He mamash left shiur mid-sentence, he still disappears, comes back. Rav Shechta says, that's Yerushalayim. You're at a shiur. You hear halacha, boom, you go and you do it. That's Yerushalayim. So it's a beautiful story. That's Yerushalayim, and that's exactly this shot of Nasa Benishma, of Rabbeinu Yonah, and that if you go with that attitude, that I will keep whatever I learn. Now this guy, what am I? Boom, right away, he runs, he disappears, you know, he's gone. He went to keep that halacha, that's Nasa Benishma. This is one approach to Nasa Benishma. This is the most pashut approach. Am Yisrael said, Hashem, we accept upon ourselves to do whatever you tell us. We don't know what you're going to tell us. We're not going to test whether we can handle it or not. We assume we can handle it. If you give it to us, we can handle it. We have faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whatever He says we're going to do. And that's our Kabbalah. That's Nasa Benishma. That's Rabbeinu Yonah. That's Yerushalayim. That's one aspect of our Avodah in getting ready for Shavuos, is working on this theme of Nasa Benishma, of accepting to do whatever I learn. Oh, that's pshat number one. Okay. That pshat is assuming that the word nishma means to hear. We will do before we hear. Okay. But there's another pshat. And this pshat is actually developed at some length in the Marsha on the Gemara there in Shabbos. It's the Marsha. When you learn the Marsha, there's the regular Marsha, then there's Madur Basra. Additional points added in beyond the regular Marsha. It's printed right after the regular Marsha. It's the Madur Basra. And the Marsha there develops that another pshat could be that nishma doesn't mean to hear. Nishma means to understand. In modern English, I hear you. That means I understand what you're saying. Nasev nishma means we will do even before we understand the reasons for the mitzvos. Not that it means we will do before we know. That also might be true. But it means we will do before we understand. You know, you hear a mitzvah, you're not sure about the reason, what does it make, you don't understand fully where it's coming from. The Marsha says, Nasa v'nishma, we will do, and then we will understand. And that's the yesod, what's happening here. That's the yesod of, not. That's the greatness, to accept to do the mitzvahs, even if you don't understand all of the reasons. Oh, that's what he says. He says that, what's the Seder HaLimud? First, you learn Al-Pi Kabbalah. Your Mekabel Kasher Tzivah on Moshe, whatever Moshe commands. And then you go into Lilmod V'lachkor HaKol Kol HaTa'amim HaMiyashim Al-Alev, all the reasons for the mitzvot. That's what's being taught here. This is Yahadus' approach to the reasons for mitzvahs. First you accept the mitzvah itself, and then you go into understanding their reasons as well. And it's very important for a Jew to recognize, I will do the mitzvos even if I don't understand the reason. I do the mitzvah because Hashem commanded. And on top of that, I look for the reasons as well. And what's very interesting is that the Marsha makes a comment here, which others have said, but I never saw a quote on the Marsha's name, a very subtle diuk in the Haggadah. First of all, the Marsha says, this is one of the differences between the Chacham and the Rasha. The Chacham and the Rasha both ask questions in the Haggadah. The Rasha says, what is all this work you're doing? Maha Avoda, what's all this work you're doing? And the Chacham says, Maha Eros Vachukim, what are the mitzvos that Hashem commanded us? That Hashem commanded you. Lachem. So there's a discussion that the Rasha asks the question and excludes himself, you, and he's given Musa, and we yell at him. And the Chacham seems to do something similar. He says, what are all of these mitzvahs that Hashem Elokeinu commanded you? And he's given a pleasant answer. So what's the difference? We discussed this in an earlier shir, before Pesach. So the Marsha says, well, we quoted from other Mefarshim, this idea that one of the differences of the Chacham and the Rasha is this idea of Nasa v'Nishma. And he explains how the way the Rasha's question is quoted, it sounds like the Rasha is saying, what's all this work you're doing? I'm not doing the till I get an answer. And the Chacham is saying, these are the mitzvos. I don't fully understand them. Please explain to me the mitzvos. But the implication is, he'll do the mitzvos even without understanding. We quoted back then from the Kli Yakar that by the Rush, by the Chacham and the Tam, it says, Yisholcha bin Chamachar. They'll ask you tomorrow. Meaning today they do them, so tomorrow they ask. And the Rush doesn't say tomorrow. So therefore the Chacham, the Tam, use Na'aseh v'Nishma, and the Rush doesn't. So the Marsha has a similar idea. That's what he explains. Then the Marsha has another diuk, and this diuk I've seen in other Makoros, but not according to the Marsha. When you read the Haggadah, at the end of Magid, you have it's considered the most important part of Magid. These are the three things that a person has to say. Amar Rabbi Gamliel, these are the three things that a person has to say to be Yotzei the Mitzvah, Pashup Shad of Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim. What are they? Pesach, Matzah, Maror. Why do we eat Pesach? Why do we eat Matzah? Why do we eat Maror? That's what you have to say at the Seder. That's the end, towards the end of Magid. So the Marsha explains, if you look at the language of how the Haggadah presents the question, it's very precise. It doesn't say, Lama, why do we eat matzah? Lama anu ochlin matzah. It doesn't say that. It says, Matzah zu shanu ochlin al shum ma. So it's interesting. There's a difference. If you're speaking Hebrew, you want to say, why do we do this? You could say, Lama anu ochlin matzah b'layla zu. Why do we eat matzah tonight? You could say it that way. That's not what the Haggadah says. Rather, it says, Matzah zu shanu ochlin, this matzah which we're eating, al shumma, why? What's the difference? So the Marsha explains, we'll see it inside in a second, the Marsha explains, if you ask the question the first way, quote unquote the regular way, so then the eating of the matzah is included in the question. Why are we going to eat matzah tonight? It's not an automatic given. It could mean, I'm eating matzah, explain why. Or it can mean, why are we eating matzah tonight? I'm not sure I'm eating until you give me an explanation. It can mean either one. The language we have is very precise. Matzah zu shuanu ochlin, the matzah which we're eating, comma, that's a statement, that's not part of the question, al shumma, please tell me why. So it's beautiful, very subtle. The way the Baal Haggadah asked the question reflects Na'aseh v'Nishma. I'm doing it. Then let's explain. The Marsha makes this point himself. I never knew that it's in the Marsha. Well, it's actually very exciting that the Marsha says it himself. Well, he says here as follows. He says here, Amar Rabbi Gamliel, Kol Shalomar Gimel Dvarim BePesach, etc. Al Shum Ma Matzah Shorochem Al Shum Ma. Why do we eat the matzah? Like that's how it says it. Now listen to what he says. Shekoshe, arichus haloshon. The language, it's longer. In other words, to say, lama anu ochli matzah, is a shorter way than saying Mas zu shonu ochim al shumma. So the language we have is a longer language. The Haggadah should have said in a shorter way, Pesach lama ochel, why do they eat matzah? V'chein matzah lama anu ochel. Matzah, why do we eat it? V'chule, that's what the Marsha says. Matzah, that's the language he has. Matzah lama anu ochel. Why do we eat matzah? El ha'kavana she'ein lo lisha ala mitzvah tam lama anu osim. Oh, he says no. Medayik b'loshon matzah anu ochlim. We're eating no matter what. Af shelot hagid etam. Even without the reason, I'm going to do it. But I want to know the reason. Is there a good reason or not? Oh, that's what the Marsha says. So the Marsha points out this is the pshat of Naseh v'Nishma. Nishma, according to this pshat, doesn't mean to hear. It means to understand, and I'm accepting upon myself to do the mitzvos even if I don't understand them yet. Naseh v'nishma. And then I'll go for the reasons. And the Marsha says, that's the Chacham versus the Rasha. And the Marsha says, that's the diuk in the Haggadah. That why the Haggadah says, matz zu shonu ochlim, the matzah which I'm eating, comma, statement, no question, I'm doing it no matter what. Al Shuma, please tell me why. And that's the idea, and that's what the Gemara means, that Nasa comes first. That's exactly the Chiddush of the Gemara, that Nasa comes first. I'll do it no matter what, even if I don't know the reason. That's the Marsha, that's the famous second shot in Nasa V'Nishma. This is something we have to be working on as we're coming up towards Shavuos. We're going to relive and re-experience Matan Torah Nasa V'Nishma. It's good to look for the reasons, for understand things, understand everything we do more deeply, but we have to recognize, I'm doing the mitzvah whether I understand the reason or not. I don't do the mitzvahs because of the reason. I do the mitzvahs because Hashem said so. Nasa V'Nishma. Let's look and understand. Let's delve into things more deeply and understand why we're doing things. There's a famous bort mentioned before from a Rebbe of Aaron Soloveitchik, Zatzal. He talks about the word ta'am. The word ta'am means reason. Reason. The reason for mitzvah is ta'am. Ta'am. The word ta'am means reason. Oh. The word ta'am also means flavor. Very interesting. The same word means reason and means flavor. Why? What's the message of that? The same word has two meanings. So Avaron said it's teaching us exactly this idea. That the reasons for mitzvos, the ta'am, the reasons for mitzvos, they add flavor to the mitzvah. They make the mitzvah taste better. They're not the essence of the mitzvah, but they make the mitzvah taste better, and that's why the word tam means flavor and it means reason. That the reasons for the mitzvahs add flavor, but they're not the essence of the mitzvah. And there's a mashal, and the mashal is as follows. Mitzvahs are like vitamins. They're vitamins. You go to the doctor says, you need this, you need that, you take these vitamins. Okay. Vitamins don't always taste good. The pills, they don't taste good. You swallow them, but they don't taste. The vitamins don't always taste good. You take them anyway. Why do you take them? Because we trust the doctor. And if the doctor says, based on my knowledge and my experience, this vitamin will help you fight off this problem, so take these vitamins. Mitzvahs are like vitamins. They're good for you. If Hashem gives us a mitzvah, it's good for us physically, emotionally, psychologically, spiritually, obviously. It's good. If we trust the doctor, then the Havdil, a billion times over, we trust Hashem. A billion times we trust Hashem. Hashem gives you a mitzvah, it's good for you. Mitzvahs are like vitamins. Vitamins are good for you. Mitzvahs are good for you. Okay. But when you learn the reason for a mitzvah, and you understand why you're doing a mitzvah, then the mitzvah talks to you more. You understand the mitzvah better. You get excited about the mitzvah. You want to do it more. I understand what I'm doing. When you understand it, you get more excited. It talks to you more. You're more excited about the mitzvah. It's like vitamins with a flavor. Mitzvahs are like vitamins. That's the essence. It's like vitamins. But the reasons for the mitzvahs, tam, add flavor to the mitzvah. Same word, tam. The reason adds flavor, more exciting. Mitzvahs are like vitamins. Mitzvahs with reasons are like Flintstones vitamins. That's the mashal. That's Naseh v'Nishma. That's exactly Naseh v'Nishma. I do the mitzvah because Hashem said so. And on top of that, I look for the reasons. The reason isn't the essence. No, Naseh for sure. Nishma adds, the reason adds flavor. This is the second approach to Naaseh V'Nishma, which is developed at length by the Marsha. And approach number two, we should be working on this between now and Shavuos, always working on this. But especially now, coming up to Shavuos, we're going to relive Naaseh V'Nishma. We have to say again and again, I do the mitzvahs because Hashem commanded, no matter what. And even if I have questions, I don't understand. Okay, you don't understand. Do it anyway. Have to do what Hashem commands. Hashem gives us mitzvahs. And then ask, look into it, look for the reasons, delve into it more deeply. That's Naaseh V'Nishma, pshat number two. Okay. There's a third pshat. There's a third angle on Naaseh V'Nishma. And this third angle on Naaseh V'Nishma actually blends in very well to answer a question, a difficult question, which we actually discussed in the class on Sfiras Omer. I'll restate it now briefly. And this is the third approach to Naaseh V'Nishma. Some of the Sfarim write, this is quoted from the Maharal and others as well, that the idea of Naaseh V'Nishma, it's not specifically we will do before we know the mitzvah, the blind acceptance that Rashi saw at the first approach. It's not specifically we will do before we understand, before the reasons like the Marsha. It's a broader idea. It's emphasizing that Naaseh V'Nishma, the importance of doing the mitzvos, that one's living of Torah has to match his learning of Torah. One's living of Torah has to match his learning of Torah. This is brought down in different Sfarim. If you want to see a good list in the art school on the Gemara and Shabbos and Af Peches, they have a list of the different Mefarshim who developed this theme. They quote the Maharal and others, that this is a broader theme here. Naaseh V'Nishma means, Nishma refers to the learning of the mitzvos, the learning what the mitzvos are, and Naaseh is the doing. We're emphasizing the doing over the learning, meaning you have to know, you have to do the mitzvos. And knowing it isn't enough. It's Naaseh V'Nishma, the emphasis on the living of Torah has to match your learning of Torah. If you learn something, and it should be a given, that you do it. Automatic. Naaseh V'Nishma. Oh. And it goes as follows. Sfiras Omer is in the Torah, in Chazal, in the Rishonim, a happy, positive time. We're getting ready for Matan Torah. We're looking forward to Matan Torah. That's Sfiras Omer. It's the link from Pesach to Shavuos. Pesach, we're free. We're free physically. We left Mitzrayim, but we don't know what to do yet. Without the Torah, we're wandering around. We're free physically. The carbon on Pesach is the carbon haomer. It's the carbon brought for animals because we're just free physically. Barley is considered animal food in the Torah and in Chazal. But Shavuos is Matan Torah. Oh, then our neshamas receive their nourishment too. We know what to do. We know the mitzvos. We're free spiritually as well. So it's our neshamas and our goofs are free. And that's why on Shavuos, the carbon that's offered is from wheat. Wheat is human food. That's how our purse says and many others. This is a basic yesod that Sfiras Omer is the link from Pesach up to Shavuos, the physical beginning of Pesach, leading up to the spiritual goal of Shavuos. Sfiras Omer is that link. And so during Sfiras Omer, we're excited, we're happy, we're anticipating Kabbalah Satorah's coming. There's no question that Bisman Mat, that for several thousand years, Sfiras Omer was a serious/happy time, getting ready for Matan Torah. We mentioned in the other class that the Ramban says in Parshas Emor, he actually says that Sfiras Omer is like Chol HaMoed. It's not mamish like Chol HaMoed. It doesn't have literally the halachas of Chol HaMoed, but it's like Chol HaMoed. That's what the Ramban says. What does that mean? You have the first day of Pesach is Yom Tov. Then there's Chol HaMoed. Then the last day of Pesach is Yom Tov again. You have the 7 days of Pesach. That's one Yom Tov time. Then you have the span of Sfiras Omer, and then you have Shavuos at the end. And Sfiras Omer is like the Chol HaMoed from Pesach to Shavuos. So that phrase of the Ramban highlights in a very strong way this idea that Sfira is the link from Pesach to Shavuos. It's a happy, serious time. Okay. We know that the Gemara describes Rabbi Kiva's Talmidim died during the time of Sfiras Omer. 12,000 pairs of Talmidim died because Lonogu covered Zebizet. And they died during this time of the year. And that was a terrible tragedy for Am Yisrael. The Gemara says the world was shamed from Torah. It was desolate from Torah. until he found five new Talmidim. And because of that terrible tragedy and so many great Talmid Chachamim that were lost, that was so difficult for the Masorah, therefore, we have Minhagei Avelus during this time of the year. So we're sad for that as well. Okay, so this time of year is Simcha, about in general getting it from Matan Torah, and there's an Avelus about the Rabbi Kiva's Talmidim at the same time. It's not pure Avelus, it's a mixture. It's not pure Avelus. The 3 weeks is Avelus over the Korban. Sfiras Omer is Avelus over Rabbi Kiva's Talmidim, but it's also the Simcha getting from Matan Torah. Well, that's Sfiras Omer. Okay. So, the question can be raised. Two questions. A, how do these things fit together? Like, why did Hashem work it out this way? We don't know how Hashem runs the world exactly, but let's try to figure out. Nothing's by chance. Hashem worked it out this way that the Avelus, Rabbi Kiva's Talmidim should be at the time of Sfiras Omer. How does it blend? How does it fit together? Why would Hashem, how do these things fit together? How can we fit them together? Question two is, the punishment seems pretty harsh. Because when all kovod zeb is zeb, therefore, the punishment seems very harsh. It's hard to understand a little bit. Okay. These are the two questions. So in the other class, we presented an answer from Rabban Cutler, Zatzal, and Yibadol Chaim, Rav Nevin Sol Shlita, a similar answer. Okay. So I once heard an answer many years ago from a chashev of a Beit HaMachachem in Queens, Rabbi Welcher Shlita. I heard this shot that he gave, and it's actually interesting. I heard it in a show Friday night, and I was teaching in a girls' school in Queens, and during the week, his daughter was in my class, so I said over this Dvar Torah in class on Tuesday or Wednesday. The next Friday night, she tells over this her father's Dvar Torah back to him at the Shabbos table Friday night. So this is like a teacher's dream. So he said to her, tell your teacher that he must have said it over pretty well, because what you said to me at the Shabbos, let's say telephone, what you said to me at the Shabbos table is basically what I said in Shul last Friday. That means he must have said over to you what I said to him pretty well, so therefore give him a shkayach. That's like playing telephone, the whole circle. Here's what he said. So Rabbi Welcher said the following idea. And he said as follows. In Yahadus, we approach Torah completely differently than Lahavdil, a secular subject. In a secular topic, basically, we don't care so much about the level of morality of our professor. I don't care so much about my professor's personal life. If I am studying to go to medical school, and I want to do well in the MCATs, and my professor can explain chemistry really well, explain the ins and outs of chemistry really well, I don't care so much what his personal life is like. That's all, listen, there are certain extremes. But basically, if he can explain to me chemistry, I'm okay. That's what I care about. Because the goal is to get the knowledge. I'm not learning from him how to be a good person. I'm getting the knowledge to help do well in the MCATs. L'chavdil Torah is different. In Yadus, in Torah, when you go to a person to learn Torah, it's not just a mind-to-mind, you're getting the knowledge. No. You're learning a way of life. You're learning the Kedusha, the Ruchnius of the Torah. People go to Rav Nevin Sol Shlita to ask him Shilas, not just because he's a genius and he knows Kol Torah Kula, but also, primarily, it's a Tzadik Yisod Olam. If a person somehow could master all of Shas, and he knows it, and he's totally a secular person, a professor in a university, who knows all of Shas somehow, we're not going to go to him to ask a Shilas Shat in the Gemara. That's not the way the system works. In Yadus, when you're in the Masorah, your living of Torah has to match your learning of Torah. To be in the Masorah, your living of Torah matches your learning of Torah. This is the basic Yisod. The Torah is Ruchnis, it's Kedusha. It's not just knowing it, you have to, part of passing along the Torah is to live the Torah as well. So Rabbi Welcher said the following idea. He said these 24,000 Talmidim would have been Tanoim. Right? That after they died, Rabbi Kiva found five new Talmidim, and they were the main Tanoim, many of the main Tanoim throughout Shas. These 24,000 Talmidim would have been the Tanoim. They would have been in Shas, in the Gemara. Their names would have been used. They would have been Balei HaMasorah, capital Mem, the ultimate Balei HaMasorah, that their words are studied for centuries, decades, millennia, until Mashiach and beyond the Mashiach. This is the ultimate in the Masorah. Ba'alei HaMasorah. They would have been the Tanaim. They would have been all over Shas. So, on their level, if you're going to be a Baal Masorah, your living of Torah has to perfectly match your learning of Torah. Every Jew has to believe that, but if you're a Baal Masorah, you're Tanoim, you're in the Gemara. Here's what he said, Hashem judges you more carefully. Your living of Torah has to perfectly match your learning of Torah. And that's what happened to Akiva's Talmidim, because somehow, on their level, something was off a little bit, again, on their level, Hashem was saying, precisely because of their great stature, precisely because of their great level, they would have been the Baalei HaMasorah. Therefore, they would judge. You can't be a Baal Masorah if your living of Torah doesn't match your learning of Torah. In other words, the lesson of Akiva's Talmidim applies to us directly. It's the lesson of Nasiv and Ishma. Now, we're not the Baalei HaMasorah. We are not the Tanaim. We're not the Baalei HaMasorah. But we have to learn on our level what we're working on now, getting ready for Shavuos, is Nasiv and Ishma. Does my living of Torah match my learning of Torah? That's the third angle of Nasiv and Ishma, which the Maral and others say. And that might be, sort of what Rabbi Welch said, that might be the lesson of Akiva's Talmidim. That this lesson of this very subtle level of Nasiv and Ishma, this very high level, somehow, again, on their high level, something was somehow off in the calibration, and they could be the Tanaim. So this could be a very deep shot. In the previous class, we gave two pshat, and this is a third pshat, a very deep shot. How do you connect? How do you blend? How do you fit together the Avelus over Rabbi Kiva's Talmidim with our Hachana from Matan Torah? The simpler the answer is, the Avelus is because on their high level, somehow, their living of Torah didn't match their learning of Torah. We have to learn from that in our preparation for Shavuos, that Nasiv and Ishma, our living of Torah, has to match our learning of Torah, and that's something to be working on as we're getting ready for Shavuos. It's not only about learning the whole night, it's about committing myself to keeping what I learn, that my learning and my living should fit together. Oh, that's a third approach to Nasiv and Ishma. So we've seen then three approaches to Nasiv and Ishma. Nasiv and Ishma is a crucial classic. It's the crucial. It's one of the crucial parts of Matan Torah. Am Yisrael said Nasiv and Ishma. It was the secret. The secret, the Gemara says. Who showed Am Yisrael the secret of the Malachim of Nasiv and Ishma? We received 600,000 crowns. Every Jew received 2 crowns. 1,200,000 crowns. Every Jew received 2 crowns from the Malachim because it said Nasiv and Ishma. So what's the secret? What's the significance of Nasiv and Ishma? One shot is, I accept to do whatever Hashem says, even though I don't know it. I'm not going to be judging, will it be too hard or not to. No, if Hashem says so, I accept what Hashem says. Nasiv and Ishma, that's the Pashut Shot of the Gemara with Rashi. I accept. Nasiv means Nasiv, I will do before I even hear. And we discussed the beautiful Rabbeinu Yonah, that when you do Nasiv and Ishma, you receive credit before you did the action, as if you did it already. Nasiv and Ishma, if I say to myself, I will do whatever I learn, I accept upon myself, I do whatever I learn, I receive credit now, as if I did it already, and I receive credit again later. And Rabbeinu Yonah explains, that's pshat in the Mishnah, that you can have more actions than Chachma, and he quotes Nasiv and Ishma. That's pshat number one. We all said working on that. If I learn a new idea, I'm gonna keep it, and keep it right away. And the beautiful story from Rav Schechter, the person who learned Hilchos Mezuzah, right away Hilchos Mezuzah went to his house and bought new mezuzahs to fix up that problem. The second pshat of Nasiv and Ishma means that Nishma doesn't mean to hear, it means to understand. I will do whatever I learn, even if I don't fully understand it yet. That the reasons for the mitzvahs aren't the essence. I do mitzvahs because Hashem commanded. And on top of that, I try to delve into the reasons as well. This is how the Marshal explains Nasiv and Ishma. And Nishma refers to understanding the reasons for the mitzvahs, and that's why Nas is first, to show, first they'll do even before I understand, and that's the Chacham and the Rasha, and that's how we explained, and that's how the subtlety, the pshat, in the pshat, of how the Haggadah asks the question of why do we eat matzah at the Seder. That's Nase Benishma. And the beautiful word of Aaron Soloveitchik, Zatzal, that the word Tam means reason, and the word Tam also means flavor. The reason for the mitzvah isn't the essence, but rather it adds flavor to the mitzvah to make you more excited about it. That's Nase Benishma. And the third shot is broader. The Nase Benishma means that they have to go together. Nase Benishma, with Nase coming first, the emphasis that my living of Torah is going to match my learning of Torah. Not necessarily that I'm keeping the mitzvahs before I know them. Not necessarily that I'm keeping the mitzvahs before I understand the reasons. It's broader than that. I'm keeping whatever I know. Nase Benishma, and there has to be a perfect match between them. They're like one unit, Nase Benishma. They're one unit. Oh, that's Nase Benishma. See, that's the Yesod. That's a beautiful pshat. That's what the Maharal says. The Maharal points out that in the Gemara says that when Am Yisrael said Nase Benishma, 600,000 malachim came down and gave them two katarim each. But then when they sinned, it was 1.2 million took back the crowns. So how come before one malach gave two crowns, but removing them, they were removed separately? So he explained, and this is how the later Mefarshim explained the Maharal, Nase Venishma is one unit. See, a malach can only do one job. That's the rule we have for malachim. So if you do Nase, if you have the right approach to Nase Venishma, it's mamish one, automatically. My living matches my doing. It's one unit. So Am Yisrael is a Nase Venishma. Their living matches their, whatever they know they're going to keep. So then one malach can give two katayim, because the two katayim go together. They reflect this, the two sides of the same coin. I do whatever I learn. I keep whatever I know. But then when Am Yisrael sinned, they split Nase Venishma. They cut it in half. And they're saying, no. They don't have that exact connection. So now, if once we sinned, apparently the Nase Benishma wasn't so perfect. Oh, so then the two crowns are separate. And now, instead of having one malach deal with two crowns, you have to have a separate malach for each crown. It's a very deep shot of the Maharal. That's how he explains the Gemara. So my living has to match my learning as much as possible. And this, as we saw from Rabbi Welcher, might explain what was missing with Rabbi Kiva's Talmidim. They would have been the Tanoim. If you're Baal Masorah, your living has to match your learning perfectly. And somehow theirs wasn't. And that might be why they were punished so severely. And therefore, the lesson for us during Sphira is to get away from Matar, work on Nase Benishma. My living matches my learning. And to focus on that when we think about the Talmidei Rabbi Akiva, we're also learning this message as well, that the living of Torah has to perfectly match the learning of our learning of Torah as well. These are three ideas of Nase Benishma.